This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to good folks like Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. And Julie, good morning, by the way. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Denny. It's great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be heard. And you have brought a special addition to the show, right?
Yeah, we have a new team member. Well, Laura, you're not so new. You've been around since last winter, but she's first time on CCO Smart Garden, so we're happy to have her join in the team. Laura Irish Hansen, who's an extension horticulture educator, just like me.
Excellent. So we've got a lot of brain power here. Laura, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
We'll as Julie has told you, and if you heard the show, we will keep both of you very busy, as usual.
Yes.
In fact, during the car care show, we were getting lawn and garden questions earlier this morning. So yes, we'll keep you busy. Let's remind our listeners, who know how busy we get. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you want to get in as early as you can. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Because you guys, this is both Julie and Laura, you are educators, right? I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah, that is what we do. Our role is to bring extension research out to the general public and also commercial and industry folks, too, and to help them understand how to apply it in their daily lives. So whether it's caring for or managing large public landscapes, or if it's also just your home landscape. So that's our role. And we bring it out in a lot of different ways. So websites, this radio show, we do a lot of presentations and speaking to people. And we just take phone calls and emails, and we answer folks' questions that way too.
That's what we're doing right now, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
So let's hear either phone call or text, whichever is easier for you. First text up, what is the best way to dry out and preserve flowers?
Laura, that's a good one for you.
Yeah, so I love preserving different flowers and also some of the leaves with those flowers. And it really just depends on the species that you are hoping to dry out, because some flowers are really wet, if you can imagine, really succulent. And then others are pretty dry already. So if you take, for instance, like a chamomile flower, those are pretty dry, the petals at least. And so I know some people, if they don't want to use an external heat, they'll just simply place them between really heavy books or bricks with newspaper kind of around them, or white paper is even better, so you don't lose that the ink from the newspaper onto the petals of the flower. But I really enjoy, if you don't want a flat flower for drying, you can actually put them in a food dehydrator after you've, I wouldn't wash petals, usually that damages them. But you can just put them in a food dehydrator, and then just like you would with anything else you're dehydrating, you can just check on it every few hours until it's at that nice dry state, and then you can put it in a clean, sealable jar or container.
Very good. Earlier this morning, another one came in, and it was the question was, what cold weather vegetables are best to try in winter? Radishes, cabbages, beets?
That's another good one for you, Laura.
So I absolutely love extending my growing season by incorporating cool season plants. Right now, in my personal garden and out here at the Foodscape at the Farm at the Arb, which is where I'm at right now, we have a lot of different brassicas, so kale, cabbage, those types of pretty hardy greens. Other plants that are really quite hardy and can get down below 25 degrees Fahrenheit without too much damage include parsley. So if you like to have fresh herbs going into the winter, definitely try out the different parsley plants. Those are really nice. If you do want your plants to survive for next week, because most of us across the state are going to get down to almost the single digits, I saw as the prediction. You're going to need to protect your plants, and just know that usually once it gets down to 15 degrees, even the hardiest of our vegetable crops are going to have some type of damage on their outer leaves.
All right. Let's take a phone call this morning. I think Todd and Ramsey is our first caller this morning. Todd, good morning. What is your question this morning?
Good morning. Thanks for having all that brain power on hand, as you said. I got a little over-aggressive with the number of tulip bulbs that I purchased versus the space that I had to plant them. So I have about a dozen that I do not have space for. Is there a way to keep them for a year until I can plant them next year?
Well, that is always a good question. I'll give my thoughts, and Laura, jump on in here. Laura's got a great background in horticulture education, particularly around propagation. And as you can hear, she grows an awful lot of different kinds of plants, both at work and at home. So I've always suggested that people can try to force those bulbs by planting them in a pot and putting them into a dark, cool location. And if you have a refrigerator that doesn't have any food in it, maybe you keep your beer in there or pop or something. That would work too. And then you can take it out in the spring, probably after the first of the year or so. That tulips usually need, I think, Laura, 12 weeks of cold time?
Yep.
And then take them out after 12 weeks and then put them in a sunny location. You'll have a bulb garden at that point. But Laura, what do you think? This is a common question we get because folks forget to plant, or like Todd, bought too many bulbs.
Well, I don't believe there's ever such a thing as buying too many tulip bulbs because I love them. If you really don't have any other space in your yard and you're hoping to keep them for yourself, yeah, definitely you can force them, like Julie said. It's kind of hard to keep bulbs really nice and firm for a whole 12 months because they've already been in storage for a few months before you've probably gotten them. But if you do want to try it, you're going to want to keep them in a cool place, like a dark refrigerator. And when you bought your tulip bulbs, I don't know if they came in with any sawdust or maybe peat with the bags. If they did, you just want to make sure that there's a slight amount of moisture in those so the bulbs aren't just drying out slowly in the back of your fridge. And maybe also put an alert on your phone that you have tulip bulbs in the back of your fridge. So in March and April, you might want to go check on them to make sure they're still firm and not rotting. I'm not speaking from experience or anything.
Of course not.
So I have a question about that, though, because because tulip bulbs need that cold period in order to bloom. Could somebody put them in their fridge and then plant them in the spring? This is always a question we get, and I never am quite sure what to tell people.
Well, usually what's going on when you plant them in the fall, the bulbs are sending down roots to get established in the fall to overwinter so that they have the ability to come up and through. So if you do put them in a pot with peat mix or some type of mix in that pot and you keep it a little moist throughout the, I'm going to just say the winter while you have it in your fridge, and then when you pull it out, you're pretty much just forcing them. So you can try to plant them out in your landscape, but usually the soil's really wet and heavy, and my fear would be people are going to start compacting the soil too much to get them out as soon as they need.
We need to take a quick break. We have more show to come, of course. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Julie and Laura answering those questions. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M and Laura Irish Hansen also from the U of M answering those very questions. And we have so many already on this almost holiday weekend. let's pick up where we left off. Here's a text that says, I have a small succulent, no thorns, just dark green, small, rounded, fleshy leaves. Plant looks healthy, but it's all flopped over like it has grown too tall and stem cannot support the weight. Is this normal? Should I do anything?
Depends what kind of succulent it is. Sounds like, I'm thinking burrow's tail.
Yeah. It could also be some type of specialty jade. They have some that are a little bit, that have smaller leaves. If the stem is getting too long and it's flopping over, my thought is it's not it hasn't ever had enough light, and that's why that stem is getting really long and what we call leggy, and that's why it's tipping over. And there's no way to make the stem that's already grown shorter. So my advice would be to try to put it in an area where you have another, like a grow light or something, so that the new growth of the stem will be much shorter between where the leaves attach.
You could also do a cutting, I suppose, and cut it back.
Yeah. Yeah, and most succulents, you can cut them and just lay them on top of whatever pot you already have to fill in the pot some more.
Okay. Question is, will Brussels sprouts produce much more now when the temperatures are consistently colder, or is it time to pull them up?
Probably time to pull them up, don't you think, Laura?
Yeah, especially with the cold weather we're going to get next week. I'm growing some at my house, but I'm protecting them. So I'm planning on leaving them as long as possible, and I'm knowing that the actual sprouts themselves, those buds, are not going to get much larger than they already are.
Okay.
So Thanksgiving.
Yeah, pretty much.
Have some Brussels sprouts for your Thanksgiving meal.
Texter says, please advise if it's a good idea to have a plastic greenhouse with shelves in the basement to store plants like pepper plants and herbs. This will be for spring. What will be some challenges in trying to keep them alive over the winter?
Oh, my gosh, Laura, this is your show. I may as well just have a cup of coffee at this point.
That's not true. There's going to be so many questions. I'm going to be like, I don't know, to ask Julie. So I love overwintering plants in my own basement. If your basement is really cool, that is definitely going to slow down growth. And by really cool, I mean 50 degrees or lower. If you do have one of those little plastic grow tents or a big one, it doesn't matter the size really, you're going to want to make sure that you put lights in those tents if you want those plants to keep growing and photosynthesizing. If you don't have supplemental lights, it can be kind of tricky. A lot of plants aren't going to grow very well. They're going to get like the last call or the last text asked about the long stems. Those plants are going to get really leggy, and they're actually kind of hard to keep over the winter to then transplant back out into your garden. So my biggest suggestion, if you don't have some LED grow lights or any grow light you can get, I would definitely purchase some to put in those tents.
We have a good web page on lighting. It's under our houseplant page, but it has some guidance for types of lights that you can purchase.
Mm-hmm. On the U of M website.
On the U of M, I'm sorry, I forgot the link, extension.umn.edu. Everyone just heard it in my head when I said it.
Thought I better bring that up. That's all.
Thank you. You're the best.
Do I need, Texter says, to burlap my arborvitaes?
Well, I'm not a fan of burlap around plants. First of all, I look like Star Wars figures, you know, coming from those little, trying to think which ones and where. But I think that a lot of times the biggest problem with why people have to burlap arborvitae is because they're planted too close to the street, and we get a lot of salt spray from plows in the winter, and that can cause desiccation on that side. Sometimes you'll see arborvitae with one whole side of the plant along the road is brown, but the rest of the plant is fine, and that's from salt spray. The other issue, too, is that when you enclose them completely, then, first of all, it doesn't look so good, but there may be a factor where the plant is, it may cause some mildew buildup in the plant. There might be moisture in there. Snow that gets down into the wrapping may cause breakage inside. So there's a number of different issues. Sometimes people will put fences up of burlap instead of wrapping the tree. And I think that might be a better idea, just because it allows the plant to be full and open. And then it looks a little bit better maybe than wrapping the plants. But you definitely don't have to wrap arborvitae. They're hardy plants. But I guess the question would be the reason for wrapping them.
Okay.
And if it's along the road.
Julie and Laura, I'm getting a lot of texts about something I'm going to be doing this weekend, and that's called dormant seeding. Is it safe? One texter says, is it safe to dormant seed right now? Is it time?
Actually, it depends on the soil temperature, and I think if John were here, he would say you could hold off a little bit because we are going to get some serious cold temperatures and the soil is going to start to freeze in the top few inches at least. And so I would probably wait a little bit. We've had a long fall. We've had a lot of rain and moisture recently, which is great, but we still have soil that's not frozen. It's probably not cold enough at this point. So maybe wait a little bit longer. You can dormant seed up until probably March, so you don't have to rush out and do it in November.
Well, I'll find something else to do. Good. Thank you for that. Good. All right. Endless summer hydrangeas, multiple texter has. What's more damaging to them over the winter, cold or the dry air?
Oh, well, boy, I don't think it's the dry air as much as it's, I don't know about the damage, what kind of damage they're seeing on that. Those can be cut back in the spring, or they can be left up, either way. So probably the cold, I would guess I would say, but they're usually pretty hardy in Minnesota. Okay. Lauren, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, unless they're in a really open, exposed, windy spot, I could see desiccation, but like you said, you can cut those ones back. So
right.
I'm going to grab one more text before we break for the forecast. This listener says that they have a fall basket that they got earlier, wondering if they can save some of the plants that were in it, a purple aster, black-eyed Susan, and mums. What would be the best way to plant them yet this fall and help them make it through winter?
I don't think you're going to be able to plant them this fall.
And most of the time, those are the annuals, right. Even the black-eyed Susans and the mums, so they're not hardy to most of Minnesota. So you can do
doesn't,
it, but
doesn't
you might
look
be
good.
Sad
Just
in the
enjoy.
Spring.
All right, enjoy it. All right, let's take this break for weather, see what this weekend and the coming holiday looks like weather-wise. Stay with us here, News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Denny Long here, along with Julie Weisenhorn, Laura Irish Hansen, answering those questions. Julie and Laura, of course, from the University of Minnesota, and a lot of text messages. Now, if you'd like to call in, chat with Julie and Laura, that's fine too. Either way, here's the number, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, my strawberry plants are still green. Can I put straw over them anyway?
Absolutely. Do it.
You know, we're getting a lot of indoor plants. I guess it's the time of year. Household plants, any advice, Julie and Laura, for that topic?
Yeah, so right now, all my plants, of course, are in. They've been in for about a month and a half, and I am checking them pretty regularly for pests. So looking for mealybugs, which are my bane of existence. I can't stand them. They're just, and they tend to be the issue that I have here, but you can also have pests like scale and spider mites and also white flies. There's a number of different insects. So we do have a great webpage on houseplant pest management. And I would suggest that everybody take a look at that and get to know those pests and what you can do about them. I think, I know Laura, I know you've used neem oil in the past. That's been, I think, isn't that one of your favorites? I kind of remember that from way back when.
Yeah, well, I'm like you. If I see mealybugs, that plant is not worth it. And I throw it away.
not worth the real estate.
Nope. And it's not worth spreading to my other plants. Yep. Sometimes it just depends on the pest that I find. But usually I start with just washing off the leaves of my plants.
Sure.
So before I brought my plants in to my house, because I put them out in the late spring into summer, I actually washed down the whole plant. And not just the plant, it's the pot.
Right.
So a lot of people don't realize that those insects are actually living on the rims of those pots, on the bottoms of the pots. So if you come in as clean as you can, you would usually decrease the amount of, you know, if you need to use neem or insecticidal soap or a systemic if that's needed for a non-edible plant.
I've also found mealybugs living on the clips of my orchids. So take those clips away. Look at the any kind of posts that you're using, any kind of stakes. Also, I use cork trivets underneath pots to prevent the pot from scratching underneath the saucer too. And I found them living in the cork I found them living under, and this sounds like I have nothing but mealy bugs in my house. They're not that bad. But, and underneath the, on the saucer too, in the clay saucers. So be sure to look at, I love that you said, you know, washing the pots, because they are, that they live all over. They'll hide from us. And yeah, what a mess.
I'm looking at, oh boy, somebody texts, can I still cut back my lavender to wood stem?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep, okay. I would protect it with leaves if you have any, and then or pull straw. Those back in the spring. Mm-hmm.
A little protection. Sure. This listener, Julian Loris, says this, my amaryllis bulbs have been out of dormancy for 8 weeks and no growth noted yet. They're in a south-facing window. Is there still hope for them this season?
Well, that seems like an awfully quick time for them to be out of dormancy. So, in other words, the call or the texter brought them in from outside, let them die back, and then brought them out. And they've been out for 2 months. That's very short. I don't know if that they technically became dormant or rested, as some people say. That's a pretty short time. So they may still be dormant, but I don't know, Laura, what do you think?
Oh, I was thinking, did they actually, because they need some type of cold, were they put in a cooler? Sorry, maybe I misunderstood the question.
Yeah, maybe they just came inside and put them in a window or, yeah, it's a little bit, we'd need a little bit more information on that.
More
info. We do have a good
web
page on amaryllis, again, on extension.umn.edu under the houseplant section.
Very good. So
take a look at that.
This listener said, I cut stalks of sedum plants, hung them upside down to dry at the bottom ends. New sedum plants started growing. Can I plant these in soil to start new plants?
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. For sure do that.
Yeah, that's great. What a good idea.
What's going on at the Arboretum? I know it's a holiday week coming up, but there's still this time of year lots going on, right?
So much going on. Winter Lights has started. So this is our light exhibit that is throughout the main area of the Arboretum. It's gorgeous. Laura and Carl and I went the other night and it was really cool and we walked all over. Beautiful inside and out. The plants that they've got, the poinsettia tree is gorgeous. Also, there's still classes going on. There's some classes. We are closed on Thanksgiving Day. So, that's important to note. Also, the Apple House is now become a holiday boutique, and there are double discount days up until November 27th for members in the gift shop. So if you need to do a little bit of holiday shopping, maybe find a hostess gift or a host gift or some holiday gifts for your loved ones and friends, this is a great time to go and find something for that perfect gardener.
Good idea. This listener sent via text that they planted strawberry plants on a raised water tank as they had no other space, and they're doing very well. The question is, can I protect them somehow through winter?
What do you think, Laura?
Yeah, so I was just thinking of what we did at the Foodscape last year. So we took fencing and put them around pots and then packed that with straw. So depending on how tall that was it a water heater? An old water heater?
Like a water tank, like a trough.
Oh. Yeah, you could try to pile it on, but it'll probably blow away unless you put some type of cage over the top.
Yeah. That's a good idea. What about a tarp that's got like bungees around it or something? Or would that be too wet?
It might be just because it wouldn't breathe as well, but
yeah. Well, it might be worth an experiment, right, at this point. Here's one we get from time to time. This listener purchased 50 pounds of grass seed this fall but did not spread it. What's the best way to store it until spring?
50 pounds. In a cool, dry location.
In a metal container so mice don't get into
it. Oh, yeah, mice. We have mice.
Good idea.
The arboretum.
Good idea. Is it better to cut back outside plants in the fall or leave them for shelter for birds, etc., and cut back and clean out in the early spring?
I vote for the second. I vote for leaving them in the winter So you have something to look at. You know, you get some winter interest, yeah. and there's a lot of little animals and insects that also overwinter in your mulch and also in some of those plant areas.
That's it.
Looks great.
Grab a phone call. Henry's calling in from Rogers, I believe, this morning. Henry, thank you for waiting. What is your question for Laura and Julie?
I got a old tree that this year it didn't produce any acorns, and this is the first year that hasn't done so. So I'm wondering if it was all the rain we had or what the deal is. I'll listen and I'll hang up.
Well, I think sometimes plants produce a heavy load of nuts or fruit in 1 year and then not so much the next year. So it could just be an off year for that plant.
Yeah,
Laura,
and
any thoughts?
Most of Minnesota went through 2 years of drought conditions into
right.
a record wet this year into another, well, the drought this fall wouldn't have impacted it as much probably, but it probably just needs a year to recoup, I would think.
Okay. Should we be watering 2 beautiful 14-inch pots of assorted evergreens that are being stored in the garage until the day after Thanksgiving?
I don't think so. If they're being stored, I take it they're not bringing them out until after Thanksgiving.
Right.
I don't think so. I don't think you'd need to water them at this point, but they should, unless it's quite warm in there, if it's a very heated garage.
We were talking about this.
I've never had that question before.
We were talking about watering last week, as we always do. But and Julie, you mentioned that it doesn't seem the ground being frozen yet. I've turned off my outside faucets, but
right,
I mean, can
right.
you still water? Do you think?
I don't think so.
Okay.
At this point, we're going to get teens, and it's. I mean,
yeah.
if nothing, if it's pooling on the surface, it's going to freeze, and that could harm plants more than help them.
Okay. This listener is planning on planting tulips this weekend. Is there anything special they should know or do since it's getting late? Also, they plan on dormant seeding. So what do you think of at least the first question about planting tulips this weekend?
Tulips, wow.
I think they'll be okay. It depending on where you're at, I suppose, in Minnesota, if you're far north or a little further south. If it is central to southern Minnesota, it's perfectly fine to be planting the tulips now. Because they, like I said earlier, we want them to have enough time to put roots down. So with the temperatures getting really cold next week, your tulips might not be as robust and all of them flowering next spring. But better do it today than wait.
All right. Hang on. We're going to take a break. We have final minutes here of the show. If you have a question, 651-461-9226 on our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk A3O. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us this morning, Julie Weisenhorn is with us, along with Laura Irish Hansen from the University of Minnesota, answering those questions this morning. Now, earlier, Julie and Laura, we talk about critters. We talk about bugs. And maybe some folks joined us late. How do we get rid of plant bugs? Any general rule of thumb to do that? And I know there could be various kinds, but
sure.
what would you say to that?
Well, I tell you, the first thing is to figure out what the insect is that you have. That's the most important thing, because they may do different damage. They might be treated different ways. And if we're looking at houseplant insects, we do have a good webpage on houseplant pest management. And I would take a look at that. We go over the basics, the scale, the aphids, the mealybugs, the spider mites. And we talk about in that page about how culturally to change, make the environment less hospitable to the insects. And then also how to treat them chemically. And we want to be careful with the chemicals. So we do give you guidelines on protecting yourself and using the chemical correctly. The most important thing is reading the label and making sure the plant that you have listed or that you're using is on the list. So it could be an indoor plant, for example. And then particularly with indoor plants, if you're going to treat them, you want to do it in an open air area. Don't do it in your kitchen. Don't do it where there's kids playing. Take it down to the garage or step outside temporarily to do the treating and let the plant dry. So just take a look at that webpage. It's on extension.umn.edu.
You know, let's talk a little bit about that webpage. And I know we're getting new listeners all the time, especially this time of year during the holidays, visitors, family, et cetera. What can we find there? And what's how do we motivate around that website?
Well, it's a good time of year to look at the website. And we have a huge array of different categories that pertain to indoor and outdoor gardening that you can look up information on. We have information on trees and shrubs and on plant diseases. And a couple of the features that we have right now are on food preservation, because a lot of people have been harvesting. There's some good basic videos on that that are available. That's on our features page. And then also protecting trees and shrubs in winter. You can still do fencing. Laura and I fenced this past week at the Foodscape. And also dormant seedings. People have been asking about that. And you can do dormant seeding all the way up until March, according to John. So take a look at that page if you're thinking about it. But lots of good information. And our Yard and Garden news comes out roughly every couple of weeks or so. And we have current information written there, too.
Yeah, it's just a great, great reading, great resource. Yeah. Extension.umn.edu.
Yeah.
Another
oh,
question.
Also,
yes.
If people don't get their questions answered, we have Ask Master Gardeners, and we have Master Gardeners who field questions online via email. So you can type in your question, attach up to 3 photos, and a Master Gardener will get back to you. So if you have a question during the week or we miss your question today, go ahead and use that tool.
Yeah, again, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, this listener has a massive wisteria and trumpet vine. How far down can I trim them, and is now a good time?
Well,
yeah. I'm glad we both paused.
I think that... what do you think, Laura?
No,
go ahead.
Please go, Julie.
Oh, okay. I think the best thing to do is, yes, you can head it back. Now, wisteria is a plant that blooms on what we call old wood, which is last year's growth. So the more you cut off, the less bloom you're going to have. That's one of the problems with wisteria, because wisteria get huge and they're pretty aggressive vines. And so we oftentimes plant them in areas that are not strong enough to support the vine, or it gets much, much larger than we suspect. But remember that if you're going to do any pruning, you're going to prune off next year's flowers. So you would want to prune that plant after it blooms, probably sooner than later. And I would just, I'd hold off now, and I would wait till it goes through its bloom next year.
Okay.
As far as the trumpet vine goes, that I think you could, I'm not sure if that blooms on new growth or old growth. I don't know, Laura, if you know, but yeah, another aggressive vine.
Okay. Another texter says, is it too late to plant daylilies?
My gut says yes.
Yeah, I agree. Most of the issue with planting so late in the season is the plant doesn't have the opportunity to put the roots down to get established in its location. And so it tends to struggle through the winter, maybe even die over the winter. So if you really have to plant them, like if you're moving and you got to move a daylily with you, you can try to do that. And then I would protect it. Normally daylilies don't require any protection. But I would go ahead and protect it with leaves or straw, or be sure that you mulch around the root area. But it is pretty late to be planting perennials.
Another important question I know Laura wants to know, too. Are the abiders playing anytime soon?
No, we are actually on a little bit of a winter holiday. We're going to be doing some recording this winter in our studio. So that's on our plan today. But we don't have any gigs scheduled. We're taking some
holiday
time.
Holiday time.
Yeah. Family time.
Well, you let us know next time around.
I will.
This texter says, I have a knockout rose bush, and I'm wondering when I put a styrofoam cone over it, should there be some holes on the top of the cone?
I don't think I'd use a styrofoam cone. I would use, if you need to protect it, I'm not sure about knockouts if they require any winter protection. Laura, if you're familiar with that, but I would use some fencing, and I'd pile in some leaves and pack it in around there. And then just that should take care of it.
All right. What about, this is a lawn question about aeration. Is it too late to do any kind of aeration in my lawn?
We should ask you, Denny. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm unfortunately, when I had it done, it was such a dry period it was like they were tilling it.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah. And, but if it was moist, I would say so. You know what? I think I'd wait. I know fall is the best time, but I think I'd wait till spring.
Yeah.
That's,
I think so too.
That's my input.
It might be hard on the plants to do it.
Yeah, I think so. What about hostas? Texter says, should I cut back hosta plants? They're quite big, 1.5 feet in diameter.
You know, I'm not a fan of cutting stuff back in the winter. Especially with hostas. I know a lot of people like to tidy up their yards and make them a little too tidy perhaps, but I think that the leaves actually help protect the crown of the plant. They die back and they kind of cover it. I know hostas are tough and they can survive an awful lot, but I think at this point I would let it just die back naturally and take care of it in the spring.
Okay. Listener says, dug up iris did not get planted this year. How can I preserve them until spring to plant?
Mm, that's a good one for you, Laura, a preservation expert.
So just like the tulip question, you're going to want to put it in a cool, dry space, kind of like the back of a fridge. But you're also going to make sure that those rhizomes, that the fleshy part, the bottom part of the iris, has some way to hold in the moisture so it doesn't completely dry out. So you can pack in, if you have it in a bag with holes, very critical. You can leave it in a sealed bag, but you're going to have to check it more. But I would put just a little bit of damp straw or sawdust is better. Not straw. Sawdust, or if you just have plain peat, not a regular potting mix that has, you know, maybe a fertilizer in it that can increase algae growth. But yeah, I would make sure you help it maintain some of that moisture, but you don't want to put it in wet sawdust because that will rot the rhizome.
A listener, obviously new to the show, and thanks for listening. We hear us talking about dormant seeding all the time. They want to know what it is and how to do it, basically.
Okay. So dormant seeding is putting down grass seed that's appropriate for the type of lawn you have and the amount of light, etc. And you put it down after the point in the season when the temperatures are cold and the seed will not germinate. So seed germinates, I want to say, was it 50 degrees, 40 degrees? So you put it down and it just stays there over the winter. And if you can do it right before snowfall, that's great. Kind of protects the seed. And then leave it through the winter and then it will germinate in the spring when moisture and temperatures are appropriate for it. So it's a way to get a jump on a healthy lawn for next year and maybe take something off your to-do list in the spring.
Okay, thank you for that. Regarding, Texter says, large solar kills. Texter says, I've seen both, but which is most effective, clear or black plastic? What's the story with that?
Oh, I love that. So there's solarization, which is when you use a clear plastic because the sunlight can hit the soil. And the other method, using like a black plastic or something that blocks light, is called occultation. And that really just depends on when you're going to put it down to use and for how long. So if you have a really sunny spot, you can definitely do either the black plastics or the clear plastics. The black plastics, they don't actually get any of the seeds to germinate, any new seedlings to germinate, typically. Whereas if you use a clear plastic, you'll actually end up killing more of that the seeds in the weed seed bank because they'll germinate, get too hot, and die. So the clear plastic really only does well in a full sun area, though. So if you have a part sun area, I'd recommend using the darker plastics.
We have about a minute and a half to go on the show. I think we have time for one more. Regarding plant pests, this texter says, they found yellow stickies at the big box store in the ant and mouse area. You put the stickers or stickies in the pots, and they were great. So it's a comment. What would you say to that?
Yeah, so that would be for flying insects like fungus gnats, which is one I haven't mentioned, another nasty pest in a house. And it has, and fungus gnats are due to never allowing the soil or the media that the plant is growing in to dry out. So if you are constantly watering, you want to water when your plants are dry. Don't just water on a schedule. And be sure that you have containers or pots that are draining well so that the water isn't sitting in and keeping those roots really wet. That causes root rot, and that feeds the fungus gnat larvae, and then they emerge as adults. And so that's what the sticky, that's what you're seeing on those sticky cards are the adults. And one of the best ways or fastest ways to take care of it is to repot the plant in a clean pot. You can wash the same pot out and with hot soapy water, rinse off all the roots, and then put in some fresh soil or substrate. And,
very good.
And I would recommend not using anything you kept outside.
All right. We're out of time. Thank you. Laura, welcome to the show. Hope to speak to you real soon again. And Julie, you too. Happy Thanksgiving to you both.
Happy Thanksgiving, Denny and Ryan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.